Ready?
I was born ready.
I can honestly say that's the best news I've heard all day.
Joe Torti Show.
Kind of reminded me of a dark, gothic Neil Diamond.
That's like exactly what I'm going for.
This is the Joe Torti Show.
What show are you listening to?
Joe Torti Show.
I'm trying to be patient, but you're making it incredibly difficult.
I can say big loud things. I can be demonstrative.
Can we just end this already?
Now it's time. The Joe Torti Show.
Yes, it is. What's going on, Philadelphia? Joe Torti here with you, 97.5. The Fanatic hanging out with you until midnight. Tyler Zuli on hand as well, producing. Devon Gibbons making his way out of the studio. Did an outstanding job, as you guys heard. Always loved the crossover, but now it's you and me until midnight as we are hanging out. And I wanted to get into something that we just touched on because it kind of does cut to the core here of, you know, where these, like, feelings are coming from. Because a lot of people are in their feelings right now. Like the caller from the block number who just got into Tyler and is talking about how we don't want you guys talking about the Flyers, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of people are feeling certain kind of ways about teams. And we might be saying things that we don't mean. So let me ask you a serious question. And this is only a question for the 4-for-4 fans or the fans that are only locked in teams if they are going to be winning titles. No judgment, but, you know, some fans just, hey, I want to see a parade. I want to see the teams do well, but I'm not locked in a day-in, day-out basis. I'm not the fan police. As far as I'm concerned, you're good to go. You can consume as much or as little as you like. A fan is a fan, as far as I'm concerned. But Tyler Zuli came up with a pretty incisive, to-the-point question when Devon and I and Tyler were kind of brainstorming ideas for the show ahead of time. And the question is, should the Flyers kind of be taking more of the center stage with the way that things have played out? Understanding that, you know, the draft for the NFL is right around the corner. And at that point, the Eagles will become the topic of conversation as we run up to, you know, needs and who could potentially be available. Do you trade up for Henry Ruggs now that there's absolutely no prayer in hell that you'll be able to get him at the spot where you are? Like, there's going to be a lot of that, right? But I mean, day-to-day conversation. Should the conversation shift more towards the Flyers with how disappointing the Sixers have been, with the Phillies' meaningful game still a while away, and obviously with the draft coming up, but not imminent? Or is kind of giving the Flyers their due, waving the white flag that the Sixers might not make a run? Do you think that the Sixers should, you know, could still make a run and therefore still be a major topic of conversation for us? And it's not exactly like crowdsourcing in terms of like us doing our jobs, although, of course, always we take all feedback into consideration. But it's more of like taking the temperature out there. At what point is enough enough? Like when you look at the Sixers, for example, and you're talking about a team that has been unfortunately disappointing on several levels. First level being that even when healthy, the team has not performed to the level that we thought they would be, which would say to be a top two team in the Eastern Conference. And then you add in the fact that injuries have become a factor and that you have not been able to see the team at full strength and that you've seen Brett Brown scrambling and trying to put together rotations and figure out roles for people that are playing more minutes than they should. Is there faith that they could still put this together? Is there faith that there's still a run left in the Sixers? Or is it time to turn the page? I don't mean turn the page, like completely ignore a team, right? I mean, the Sixers are still making the postseason. They're solidly in good shape there. But I mean, like, are you just going to be pulled back a little bit? As far as I'm concerned, there is no shame in protecting yourself. There's no shame in looking at it through the lens of, I am hopeful that maybe the Sixers will do something, but I am going to keep my expectations low and potentially be pleasantly surprised. If my expectations are not exceeded, then you know what? Maybe there's a coaching change and better things are right around the corner. Or do you look at it the other way? Because there is another way. The other way is that the expectations ahead of time, ahead of the season, were that this would be a top two team in the Eastern Conference, but more importantly, a team that is contending for an NBA title. And even though the path has not kind of been the way that we might hope or expect, if you're in the playoffs, technically speaking, you can make a run. Should this team still be held to that preseason standard? It's fascinating because we had the same conversation about the Eagles. With all of the talent that they brought in and things like that, should teams still be held as the postseason approaches to preseason expectations? And I've always said yes. I've always said, why do you make preseason predictions knowing that stuff is going to happen over the course of the regular season, but, and you know, not hold teams to those? If you're going to be constantly reevaluating, there's no need to make predictions ahead of the regular season or say what the standard is going to be. Where do you come down on this when it comes to the Sixers? Where do you come down on it when it comes to a team that has fallen short of expectations, but technically speaking, still able to achieve the ultimate goal and meet the expectations that were laid out before the regular season began? Or, and I shudder to say this, not because I'm not a hockey fan, but because there's a lot of basketball left, is it hockey season in Philadelphia? 610-632-0975, your phone number to hop aboard the conversation. You can reach out on Twitter as well, as some people have. I'm going to get to the tweets in a matter of moments here. But that's at Joe Torti at 97.5 The Fanatic. Tyler Zuli is at Tyler Zuli. Zulli. Let's go to the phones now with Chris in Williamstown to lead things off. Chris, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe, please, please stop. I know the ceiling was high for the 76ers this season to do something, you know, instrumental, you know, and get to a postseason. But I don't think we could have accounted for three of our top stars, probably most of the team, you know, being out at this point. You know, regardless whether Horford and Tobias here, like, we know Horford don't want to be here. And Tobias Harris, why he's showing up, like, he's not showing up on the grand scale. When you have Shake Milton out playing you and making and showing you up, albeit in one game, like, that's when you need to take a reality check and a hard look in the mirror and say, I can be better than this. And that's to my other two stars, and Tobias and Al Horford, you know, going forward. You're getting paid like this, you need to show up. Stop with this, you know, pity party to Boston, Al, and play like you actually love this city. Tobias and him could be the best 1-2 combo right now without Ben and Joe, and they don't even expose it, Joe. What's your thought?
Well, yeah, I mean, if those guys are going to be out for a significant length of time like we think that they might be, I don't want to count on Shake Milton as option A. Like, it has to be those other guys who take the big step forward, because maybe if they do, and they step up and they are able to keep the Flyers, or the Sixers rather, afloat here in the short term, then maybe you've stumbled onto something that when Simmons and Embiid do return, you're a lot more dangerous than you were even before they got hurt.
Let's rephrase Jim Mora. Playoffs, I just want to win a road game. And you know what, the Flyers, they're such a refreshing, you know, when I thought about it, you know, Travis Konechny, Ivan Provorov, Sanheim, those were the guys, Moran were the guys I was looking to really step up and,
sure,
you know, cement themselves here. And you got guys like Joel Farabee and Kevin Hayes really stepping up and making their names. Like, whoa, you got to, and Vigneault deserves all the credit in the world for turning a team, this pretty much the same team around, and they look like they're playing the zones a lot more aggressively, you know, whether it's their end, the blue lines, or the opposing end. They just look more aggressive in each zone, and they don't look like they fall back a zone, you know, to kind of prepare for the attack if yours doesn't work. No, credit to Lane Vigneault for the attack this team has.
Chris, as far as you're concerned, and I'm sorry to interrupt, did the Flyers take your attention from the Sixers, or are you kind of evenly split now?
Didn't even need to think about it. Absolutely. Because this team looks like it's poised to make a run. Number two in the Metropolitan. You know, I don't think that's a fluke. I think the fact that the Sixers are number, four or five, that is a fluke. And if they can't win a road game, Joe, you will see them drop a spot or two. Don't put it past that. If they can't win a road game, that's the problem. You need to see the road versus the home. That's going to be their record through the way out. And is it good enough to keep their spot?
Well, Chris, thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. And way to sum it up. And I guess what the optimist would say is that if things continue to go the way that they have gone at home for the Sixers, you'd feel pretty good about it. But you would have to hope that at some point this abysmal road record is going to start turning around a little bit for the Sixers. But based on what we've seen this season, there's no real reason to believe that. Tweets. Brian tweets in, Brian Plunkett. Don't listen to these Flyer idiots. Hockey needs as much attention as it can get to grow the sport. They're not idiots, Brian. These people are, silly. And then he says, I've watched the Flyers as long as I can remember, 4 for 4. I think the Flyers do deserve conversation. Like I said, as a hockey fan, that it's a sport that I still play. I just recognize the reality that the Flyers have a higher standard to achieve in order to make it, you know, into regular sports talk conversation, just like you and your friends on the streets. It's just the way it is. We reflect what you guys are talking about. And fortunately or unfortunately, oftentimes the Flyers are not at the forefront of people's minds unless they are in the playoffs contending. Everybody gets up for hockey playoffs, especially if the Flyers are in it. You're always playing the way the playoffs are set up. A rival at this point, if you're in the top two, usually. I mean, there are, or certainly in the second and third spot, you're facing a rival. And there are just a lot of things that in the regular season, people need to get wound up for a little bit. Let's go to Michael in Camden next on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hey, Michael, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
Doing great. Thank you. What's going on, man?
It's just amazing to me. Like I said, I'm all Philadelphia. I'm the Eagles. I'm the Sixers. I'm the Flyers. And I'm the Phillies. I'm in on everybody. And I'm a black kid that grew up that never played hockey. I went to a major university. I went to Pittsburgh University. I played with Ironhead Haywood. I played with Tony Siragusa. It's amazing to me that people are getting mad that the Flyers are doing well and the Sixers are not meeting expectations. I love hockey. Mm-hmm. I'm more bought in on the Flyers right now than I am on the Sixers. When Allen Iverson was a 76er, I was a full season ticket holder every freaking year. But I love the Sixers, but I just can't buy in because I just don't think that right now that we got the heart that we need to have to win a championship. I love Philadelphia. I love our sports. I love everything. And I love hockey. I'm trying to learn the game of hockey. I love the effort, and I love the coach with the Flyers.
Sure.
Earlier tonight, a guy called Brett Brown a great coach. It's just not my thinking.
No, I'm with you.
I just don't try to be biased with nobody. I played at a high level. I went to University of Pittsburgh. My coach was John Fox. He's coached in the NFL.
Uh-huh.
Yes, that was my defensive back coach.
Okay, so I mean, you know what a great coach looks like. What do you think of the coaching status here in Philadelphia? What do you think of Brett Brown versus, you know, some of the other coaches here?
Right now, for me, I love Levine. I don't want to say his name wrong.
No, you got it. Vigneault. Yeah, Vigneault.
Yes, I love him because he holds his bottom line players just as well as his top players. He tells his top players, hey, I know you and did this for years, but listen, and I want to be your friend, but I need you to perform. I need you to give me what you're supposed to give me for the money that the franchise is paying you. I love the way he's holding everybody accountable. And unfortunately for me, I look at Brett Brown when we had a bad team.
Mm-hmm.
Even when you have a bad team, defensively, it's effort. You should have had a better defensive scheme, and they should have gave better effort. You might have lost every game because you didn't have top-tier talent. But defense comes down to effort. And I've just never – but in the same breath, I love listening to Brett Brown talk. Because I think he should be a politician once he gets fired.
Well, he might have a second career there, Michael. Hey, thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. Michael just laid out a lot of truths about fans, but it still doesn't explain why. And I know this is core to his question. Like, why is there fan rivalry? It's like literally like kids competing for attention, except sometimes it's in reverse. Sometimes, like, if you haven't been talking about us all year, then you don't need to be talking about us all the time. Listen, even with the Eagles and even with the Sixers, I'm uncomfortable sometimes going X's and O's. Not because I don't know or because I don't think you know, because I don't know if that drives conversation or interest the same way that overarching storylines do and player movement and all that kind of stuff, right? But that stuff is so central and integral to hockey that it almost lends itself to being, like, you know, more of an insider sport. You know, for me, when I watch hockey, the art of it is amazing. And I think that that's something that translates to people as you watch it. But what, like, how do you have long, season-long conversations about that when you've got other sports here too, and knowing that if the Flyers are there in the playoffs, the conversation's going to be there? I just don't get it.
We ran a poll, so I filled in for Natalie about 2 weeks ago. We ran a poll that said something along the lines of, would you rather discuss X's and O's,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, drama, storylines, things like that?
Yeah.
And a lot of people voted X's and O's.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's necessarily true. I don't think that, like you just said, I don't think that drives conversation like the storylines and the, you know, what's going on in the locker room, what's happening outside of the court,
sure.
off the ice, you know, that drives conversation a lot of times.
Well, and so there are two things, right? I understand that here in this city, there are a lot of people who played sports at a high level or who have had such an interest and pursued it and learned a lot that X's and O's conversations, no problem. Like, I'm not trying to discount that at all. But, I mean, when you think about it, and you just go scroll through the front page of ESPN and NFL.com, NHL.com. Like, how many systems articles do you think you're going to see? It takes Shaka Smart having literally, like, an insane press that people had to, like, study for 2 months to figure out for there to be, like, an X's and O's thing. You had to see, like, what makes Sean McVay's offense so special? Like, that's what it takes to get that kind of talk.
I got
to
tell you, if given my way and I could just, you know, I was the ruler of everything.
Yeah.
I'd love to sit here and discuss, you know, lefty-lefty matchups to, with, you know, relievers that throw hard sliders with spin rates. Because yeah. I'm a baseball nerd.
Of course.
But not anybody. No one wants to talk about that. Nobody. Including probably you.
It would just be you.
It would just be me talking to myself. So you have to pick and choose your spots where you're discussing breakdowns versus, you know, game stories, game lines, things like that.
Now here's, and we talked about the game line, storyline, stuff like that, right? Say that the Flyers are in a playoff series. And there is a system that is shutting them down consistently. Becomes noteworthy. When the Boston Celtics are sagging off of Ben Simmons and walling him off, worth talking about. And I'm not, like I said, I have the utmost respect for the sports intelligence of everyone who's listening to this show. It's not that I don't think you can handle it. It's that I don't know how interesting that is to the masses. If it is, you know, like Tyler said, we want to do it. Maybe we'll set up another Twitter poll someday. Did it win? Did it win the poll?
Yeah, I'll go back and look. I want to say yes, because I'm pretty sure that Mike's words were something along the lines of, Nah. But I'll go back and take a look just to double check.
610-632-0975. And yes, Paul, we're not talking about the TMZ Kardashian type stories. It's not that. It's things like, does Nick Foles have the worst contract in the NFL at this point? Answer? Yes. It's the Joe Torti Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Hanging out until midnight this evening, and I've got to ask you a question. I was going to hold off on this, but it's actually kind of burning me up a little bit, so I want to get this out and discuss with people. Tyler, I need you on this, and if the listeners want to weigh in, I would appreciate any kind of guidance on this. I did something today that I've never done before, and I'm not sure how I feel about it. I guess that it might have been the right thing to do, but I don't know for sure if it's kosher. Have you ever gone to your credit card company to dispute a purchase or like cancel a transaction that you have made but was not executed to your satisfaction? Because
no.
I have never done that before today.
So you're saying if I go into a store or something,
yeah,
and I buy a product,
yes,
and the product itself is bad, or
well, so
the
let me
services like how are you framing this?
Okay, so I made an online purchase. And I wouldn't call it like a life-changing online purchase, but it was something sizable enough that I would notice if like the amount of money were just gone. Let me put it that way, right? So I placed this order on January 13th of 2020. And I was told that the product had like a 3 to 4 week lead time, so that was when I could expect it. So that puts us right around Valentine's Day. Okay. I still haven't received the product. And it is March 2nd. And I've gone back and forth with the company a couple of times. And they say now that the product is out of stock and it's on back order, blah, blah, blah. Despite the fact that when you go to purchase the product online, it still says that same 3 to 4 week lead time. So after a couple back and forths, like they said, for example, when I emailed them on the 13th of February, they said be back in on the 14th. You know, do you want to wait? I said, yes, obviously. I can wait one more day. A couple more back and forths. It'll be back in on the 27th. It'll be back in whenever. It's still not here. And they're trying to charge me a 20% restocking fee for something that is not in stock. And it's in the terms and conditions. But I also don't care. Like, logically, it is not in stock. So today, I filed a dispute with my credit card company. Told them that the product never arrived. They said that it's delayed or backordered, whatever. But, I mean, I feel like going on 2 months for a product is long enough. But I also feel, like, kind of dirty about this. Like, it feels like I went and told my parents on like something that my little brother or sister was doing or something like that.
Well, let me ask you this. Was the product mandatory? Like, did you need it to live?
No, I definitely didn't need it.
So it was an excess leisure whatever.
Yes, but it was a gift. It was a gift for someone important to me.
Did they know the situation?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So they're understanding that this is a dilemma. You have no issue.
You don't think so?
No, I really don't. I think that if you would have made this happen on February
15th or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Then I'm like, all right, Joe, relax. It's backward, especially if it's coming from another country. Relax a little bit.
Texas might as well be another country.
But it's coming from inside the United States.
Yes.
So it's domestic shipping.
And to my understanding, it is a product that is manufactured in-house. To my understanding, they create
product. You've got no issue.
Okay.
You're fine.
All right. Because I'm not interested in paying a 20% restocking fee on, like I said, an amount of money that I would notice for a product that literally is not in stock. But I've never disputed anything on my credit card before. So it feels kind of gross. I didn't lie to the credit card company. I told them exactly what happened. But I don't know. It feels like kind of whiny. It feels like, you know, it feels like I failed. Like I wasn't able to handle this situation on my own. Just wondering what the etiquette of this is. Because I'm not saying that this is a tool that I'm going to uncork at all times. You know, I'd rather go through customer service and whatnot. But I do wonder, like, if it's ever acceptable to do something like this. I don't know. I'll put it up for the courts. Paul tweeting in about me mentioning that Nick Foles is probably the worst contract in the NFL. Yes, but the Folesians will cheer when he returns in a trade for Alshon Josina Jeffrey. Ouch. Always right to the point. Kevin Todd, on the question about whether expectations are changed, because, I mean, Tyler, you're a good one to talk to about this because we talked about it with the Eagles on This Week in Pro Football. Kevin says, if 21 and 25 are healthy, expectations don't change come mid-April. They need to be in the Eastern Conference Finals. And the Flyers could win the Cup or they could lose in 7 in the first round, but they're as good as anyone right now. How do you address, with the Sixers in particular now this time, not the Eagles, are they held to the expectations that we had in the preseason, or has the landscape shifted to the point where we reset expectations?
So I think for a lot of people, the expectations are still there because for whatever reason, people are like clinging on to hope, like holding on to something that the Sixers can still be that team we all hope they would be. For myself personally, I'm out. Like I'm not out on the team. I want them to win. Yeah,
right.
I want them to win. If they make a run, that's great. But I'm not going to sit here and dedicate my life and put my heart, sweat, and tears into this thing to watch them get beat in the second round and then go, you know, why is this happening? Why is the sky falling? Because I don't think the sky's falling. The sky has fallen.
Right.
We are in fallout at this point.
So, well said. So at this point, it's not even like a self-defense, like where you almost believe in them, but you're talking them down so that if they let you down, you're not hurting. It's that the expectations for you have dropped to the point where instead you'll be pleasantly surprised if they make noise in the post.
Yeah, the like putting myself down expectation thing was how I felt about the Eagles, even with all the injuries, just because Carson Wentz could do Carson Wentz things.
At any time. Yeah.
And that's exactly why I felt that way. I haven't felt that way about the Sixers since probably the Christmas Day win. And even that was, I thought, an anomaly to the point where I thought it was more along the lines of, this is great, now do it again. And we've seen what's happened. And it was a home game.
Yes.
So that to me is, I haven't been there where I was with the Eagles going into the Seattle game since Christmas Day.
The way that I look at this Sixers team is much like the way you do. If you have a family pet that is on the way out but has way outlived what you expected, that's kind of where we are. You're going to be sad at the end of this thing, whenever that is, but you've had a lot of time to get ready for it. You've had a ton of time to see the Sixers' demise kind of coming down the pike here. Let's go to Lance in Arizona on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Lance?
Hey, Joe. I have two stories for you, but I want to get to an Eagles point after that. So the first story... I bought a TV from Target. It was normally an $1,100 TV. It was a 70-inch Vizio.
Nice.
And I went before Black Friday, like, and they said they had it in the store. They didn't have it, so then I had to order online and get it shipped to myself. And literally, it took from then all the way to the middle of January because it kept screwing up. Like, one time they told me it was coming to my house that day, and it was still in L.A., so they screwed up so bad, they kept giving me these discounts on it, so it went all the way down to like $550.
Nice. All right.
And then my second story goes with Fanatics, and I don't feel bad now knowing that Fanatics is owned by a Sixers owner because they ticked me off, but I bought a Joel Embiid jersey. Literally 2 weeks later, it was like $50 less. So I was like, well, they wouldn't let me price match it, so I just had to return that one, order a different one,
right,
and get the $50. So I get the one that's I return the other one, get my money back, buy the other one's $50 cheaper. That one has a stain on it. I say, I don't even know how it got a stain, because I opened it up and it had a stain. So I sent it back to them. They sent me a new one. They refunded me that one, so I wound up getting a jersey for free.
Jeez. So how come you're getting, it sounds like you're getting all the good luck. I'm telling you about my disaster purchasing stuff. And yeah, you had to send some stuff back, but it sounds like you're coming out okay.
The karma came back around, because I have to deal with Cox Communication out here, and they are the worst cable company in the history of cable company. They switch my bill every month is some new price that they told me was something different. So that's where the karma's come back around.
Gotcha, gotcha. Yeah, we hang out with our friends only from Comcast out here.
Yeah, exactly. So you guys are lucky. So with the Eagles, I heard that rumor about Andre Dillard that they would trade him to get rid of Jeffrey. I don't think it's necessarily that. I think there's two things that might be going on. I think there was a rumor that the Eagles were interested in the defensive end, Ngakoue.
Yep, from Jacksonville. Yes.
And it got leaked that the Eagles were considering trading Dillard to Jacksonville in that deal to try to get him when they franchise him, because they need a left tackle. And that the Eagles, I would not be surprised at all if Jeff Stoutland went to the Eagles and said, there's guys, and this is a deep tackle class, there's guys in the second, third round like Ezra Cleveland or Pete from UConn, that he says to the Eagles, well, they're younger than Andre Dillard by 2-3 years, and we're going to have them on a cheap contract for 4 years, whereas Dillard, you only have 3 left, and he's going to be 25. We can trade him to get something in another position, and we could draft one of those guys in the second, third round, where I think I could get them as good with the time, a year with Jason Peters playing at offensive tackle.
Sure.
I can get them to the point of Andre Dillard and draft them in the second, third round. I still have 3 more years after this year of cheap labor with them, and that makes sense to me if I'm the Eagles, because he's going to be 25. If I could get a defensive end like that, I'm assuming they'll probably have to give something else up too, but if I can get him and then replace him with somebody who Jeff Stoutland really, really likes at offensive tackle, that's a developmental guy.
Sure.
It makes a ton of sense for the Eagles to do that.
Well, especially if they don't think that Dillard is projecting or continuing the way that they hoped. And thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. To be that left tackle of the future. Because when I look at it, I see the fact that they're even considering Jason Peters coming back says to me, well, one, that the all-man crush team is still strong. We've talked about that a lot, and Jason Peters is solidly on the all-man crush team. So he's going to get to leave whenever he wants. But the fact that Andre Dillard might not be ready to take over at left tackle, how many years do you need? How long, if you're going to trade up for a guy in the first round, how long do you really need a guy to get ready? By year two, you should be good to go. 610-632-0975, your phone number to join the conversation. It is the Joe Torti Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Welcome back. Tyler Zuli, Joe Torti, 97.5 The Fanatic. Tyler's there, I'm here. I'm surprised that I've not gotten more people on Twitter. The support that I'm getting on Twitter is kind of remarkable. Is this more common than I thought? People canceling orders or disputing purchases that don't go right on their credit cards? Because I'm not going to lie to you. If this is socially acceptable, I've dealt with enough miserable, miserable customer service representatives from companies that if I could just skip to let's just pretend that this thing never happened. I'm going to do that a lot more.
I'm not saying that it's my, like, go-to move. Like, when I make a purchase after a few too many pops or something like that that I regret in the morning. You know, no, that's my own fault. But something like this, where there are delays or issues or something like that, if I could just skip to this and that's what everybody's been doing this whole time and I've been slacking on this, I feel bad.
Well, you have to find a middle ground, because you have to get in with, especially if you're a frequent purchaser of the company's, of a certain, yes, company's product. So, like, I give you an example. I'm not going to throw the person under the bus, but there's a person that I know that frequently buys from a certain store.
Okay.
This store has a general no return policy. They bought the wrong item and said, hey, I bought the wrong item, I want to get this instead.
Can I swap it?
And they're like, usually no, but
You're so yes.
So we're going to give you this one-time thing.
Right.
So, well, you have to find that middle ground.
Well, so that's why I felt confident in doing this with this credit card company, because I have had this credit line open since 2004 with zero credit card disputes. So I'm like, all right, since 2004, it's 2020 now, it's pretty good. Like, that's not bad for never raising a stink on this. That's why I executed that.
I know people with less success rates of, you know, cars, you know, buying full cars.
Yeah, this thing's been through some wars for me, man. Elbow Shafari tweets in, Flyer diehards need to take their complaints up with the commissioner, who thought that a year-long work stoppage and trying to play hardball with ESPN were good business moves. I was a hockey fan pre-2005. Now I am just a Flyers fan. And that is true as well. Like, I mean, I think that if you're upset that it is not in the national interest all the time, or in, like, even the public interest within the city, I'm sorry. The four-letter network counts. It counts big time. Like, that's what people associate sports with, period. That's not to say that Fox and CBS and ABC and all, well, ABC's Disney too, but all these other companies don't do a really good job, because they do, NBC. But if you're not on ESPN, to a lot of people, you're not on. If you're not showing up on SportsCenter, you're not showing up on the top plays, you're not showing up on a lot of different things. Think about what ESPN, and I'm not saying that LeBron James owes anything to ESPN at all. I'm not saying that at all. But look at what ESPN has done for LeBron James. Now, LeBron James is a megastar by himself, but you knew exactly who LeBron James was in high school because of ESPN. You knew exactly who Zion Williamson was in high school because of ESPN. Do you think that there's a prayer that people wouldn't recognize Connor McDavid if hockey was on ESPN? There's no prayer. Connor McDavid, while he might not be LeBron James, you know who that is. You know who Lionel Messi is. You've never watched a Barcelona game. Don't lie. You know exactly who Cristiano Ronaldo is. You've never watched any of those teams that he played for.
Roger Federer is the same way. Serena Williams. I mean, a little to a lesser extent, but...
but they love stars.
Yeah, it's star driven.
And that's how you propel a niche event into the public eye.
Well, and if you think about it too, when you break it down with the four major sports in America, obviously not soccer withstanding in the rest of the world, what are the two more marketable, what are the two more marketed sports?
Nationally? I would argue it's football and basketball.
Right.
Nationally.
Exactly.
Yes.
And the two lesser marketed sports, hockey and baseball.
Yes.
Where has the national audience lied over the last 10 years? If you ask them what's the most popular sport in America, Family Feud style, it's probably football, basketball, and then you could argue hockey, baseball, back and forth.
Right. I would say baseball's probably still in the
probably.
Line. But yeah, like that, and that's it. I mean, I think that, so let's pretend that hockey's criminally under-respected, like snowboarding. Who do you know from snowboarding?
Shaun White.
Okay, perfect. Golf. Who do you know from golf?
Tiger Woods.
Okay. Like, this is what we're saying here. They'll give you reasons to watch. There are people that are watching Premier League right now that would never have been watching Premier League before if it weren't for some highlight of Wayne Rooney or something like that back in the day.
Well, and that's the thing is, once you get them, they'll stay.
Yes.
Because that's exactly correct. I had no interest in the Premier League until FIFA, until I started playing FIFA. And that's another marketing tool is those video games. And now, I'll tell you this, for the last 2 years, I'm in a European soccer league, like fantasy league.
Yep.
My team's garbage this year, but I'm in it.
That's what I mean.
Do you know how many of the players I know in those leagues? Maybe a quarter.
Yeah.
But I know the big ones.
But by round four, you're like, I don't know.
You're just picking people. But that exactly, that's the point. At least now it's round four.
Right.
Next year, it might be
round six. Yes.
You, this is how you market.
And so it's a long way of saying that it's not our fault. Brian cuts right to the core of it, Elbow Shaferi. It's not us that are causing your people to not be interested in hockey long term. Quite the contrary. I love hockey. I'd rather everybody be into hockey. This is going to be a process because mistakes were made. Let's go to Mike in Reading next on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hey, Mike.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing?
I'm taking off speaker here.
Oh, thanks, man. Appreciate that.
By the way, great show. I need to listen more often. I have like a. You want me to start with the financial story? You want me to tell you about my sports?
Let's start with sports, then we'll move to the credit card.
Yeah, I don't know. You sound like, I don't know what your age is, but it sounds like you've been watching the Flyers for a while. What's very interesting is I don't think I've ever seen a Flyers team score this automatically, besides maybe the 99 Flyers, and that's pretty much it. Mm-hmm. Like, do you remember a team this dominant, like, in the first period, especially the first 2 minutes of a first period? I've never seen a team score this easily.
Well, I mean, when I think of this year's Flyers team, I don't know if it's necessarily as dominant as some of those late 90s teams were, but the consistency has been there. Like, the number of eggs that they've laid is way lower than at any point in the last 3 or 4 years, for sure.
46% power play on those six games, in the six-game winning streak.
Amazing. You think that holds up?
Hold that. I mean, not 46%,
but good enough.
The way how easily, if you don't mind me saying, like Jim Jackson, like it's tic-tac goal with them, like right now, like it's just like whatever it's a deflection or a really good one-timer, it just looks like no matter what, they're gonna find the space.
Yep, absolutely. It does right seem that way. It seems like they have the pieces. It's pretty good that way. Hey, Mike, what do you have on the financial situation?
So here's a story. About 5 years ago, I had to buy almost a loaner from a car lot for a second car for another job, and it was $1,200 for a Mitsubishi Mirage that had the door was almost falling off. I bought it, whatever, and the car was not on my credit card statement the following or the next month statement at all.
Huh.
The car was not on any statement. I got a free car.
What?
A free whip. It's the best story. I told all my friends this. It's the best story.
Just got
I
got a car free for car. Free.
For free.
Mike,
despite the fact that I only got 6 months out of it, but you know.
Well, how long did you need it for? I mean, you bought a car with a door falling off. I mean, how long did you think it was going
to
go?
Stuff. Yeah, it was for delivery and stuff. It's a great story. I love to tell.
That is, Mike, that is top notch, man. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. That's some good stuff right there. How come that stuff never happens to me?
Yeah, we need to like get a big crate, you know, like an Apex crate.
Yes.
Just fall down on your lawn and it just explodes. And oh, there's money.
Oh, man.
Everywhere.
Oh, money and the cures to all the diseases and all the happiness.
See, the only thing is, though, I got to tell you.
Yes.
These things catch up to you.
Yeah.
Somewhere down the line. Yeah. Oh, everything evens out. Now, my man got a free car somewhere and that's great. And I don't want anything bad to happen to him. But, like, just these things even out.
Oh, man. Believe in karma. We'll take a look at some eye-opening numbers regarding the Flyers. Continue this conversation when we return. 610-632-0975. Michael, you're going to be up first, and then it can be you. It's the Joe Torti Show. Tyler Zuli hanging out until midnight on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.